Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition. Yes, we are back. We are back. Another edition of the Bloody Knuckle Show. BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by our motherfucking selves. We're doing it on our own. We're hustling. I want to apologize. I do it every show to our fans. I know you're dropping like flies, but trust me, I'm going to keep grinding, and we're going to keep doing shows because there's a reason you follow me on Twitter. There's a reason why you follow this show. We are just that exciting, and when we do put out a show, it's excellent through a pair of motherfucking headphones. And tonight, also I got to say, follow my restaurant. Come to my restaurant, 391 and Cheese. Best wine, best cheese in Tallahassee, Florida, City of Champions, and follow me on Instagram, warrior-fit. Live the healthy lifestyle. On the line with me tonight, I got the man that people say looks like George St. Pierre's doppelganger. I got the man who comes through, and you know what? Fuck it. He's the king of Rochester. He's the man smarter than our, this is one for you, Andrew, smarter than our boy, Nestor. He's the man that is like Michael Jordan. He is never boring. God damn, he is like Mike Tyson through this microphone, leaving all other podcasters snoring, first round KO. God damn, he's killing it like Johnny Depp did in Blow. Y'all know he's the man representing Rochester to the 850. Nick Diaz, middle fingers up. Don't give a fuck. Conor McGregor, 350,000 spending on training for Nate Diaz. That's what's up. Andrew Merritt, what's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Very excited to be back with the Thursday night special, you know. Tomorrow is Friday, so I'm very excited about that. You know, everyone out there.
Friday, payday.
Oh yeah, that is. I'm very excited. Well, actually, I don't get paid this Friday. I get paid next Friday.
I get paid technically every day, but you know, check it
out. So, sorry, I lost my train of thought there. But so as I was saying, yeah, so love. The bi-weekly pay period lifestyle, the first week, it's lobster tails and steak. Second week, man, it's freaking ramen and easy mac, you know. So
I feel you on that. It does. Whenever I get paid, Andrew, I feel like motherfucking LeBron James signing a 3-year, $100 million contract. And I go out there and I spend my goddamn money, my little $200 paycheck. You know, I make money every day, but I'm just saying, my $300 paycheck, I spend that shit like I'm an NBA player. For some reason, I have that damn mentality, and I go out there, and I act like I'm balling. I make it rain with my ones in the strip club. You know how it is. But by the second week, you know I'm looking for those tips. I'm hunting down those tables because that paycheck is gone. But your boy's trying to keep good accounting now. He's trying to, you know, get his stuff together. That's just a little side note for the fans out there. But, Andrew, I had a little gripe I wanted to bring up. Actually, partially I loved it, but I wanted to get your take on it. And, yes, we're going to cover MMA. We're going to cover the NBA. We're going to cover NFL and college football. We're going to try to cover everything tonight. But it was on Twitter, and Twitter's become my news source lately. And I saw one of the biggest, you know, I guess you can call it channels, definitely for college football. Also, you know, just in sports in general, one of the biggest, you know, channels out there, CBS brought out their playoff prediction. And Andrew Meredith, I'm going to name you the four teams that they predicted to make the playoffs. Let me hear your reaction. And just in general, what you think of the four teams, and if it's a realistic prediction, and I'll kind of give you my take on it too. First off, they had a rematch in the first round between the defending national champion Alabama, which, you know, I don't see how Alabama once again gets in the playoffs, but they reload every year. I'm sure they'll find a way to do it. Facing Clemson Tigers. Yes, these bastards went out of their way to have FSU get knocked out by Clemson. Clemson is representing the ACC. I can't hate it totally, but I hate it. On the other side of the bracket, Andrew, it's my boys, Notre Dame. My boys, Notre Dame in the playoffs. The playoffs. This ain't practice. This is the playoffs against a team with one of the toughest schedules in college football, at least the beginning of the year, with a great quarterback, Oklahoma. First off, take Clemson out and put FSU in. That might be one of the best playoffs ever. But what do you think about those predictions? Pretty bold, Oklahoma-Notre Dame for CBS.
Yeah, well, are you going to let me answer this time?
What do you mean?
you introed me and then cut me off. But anyways.
It wasn't a cut off. You got your statement in. I got my statement in. And I thought we were ready to move on.
Anyways, the matchup, it's, you know, they went safe and dangerous. You know, you see a lot of people, you know, predict this way. You know, as we all remember, the great debacle of Kirk Herbstreit last year, you know, kind of made the laughing stock when he had Arizona State in there, and it was bad. I just remember Arizona State was his big team. But going on the list, I mean, kind of cookie cutter, but some interesting one. It's all very believable. One, I'll say this with Alabama. One thing I realized, you know, being a recruiting nut and following it, they have 49 4-stars and field a complete defense of 5-stars. The talent level on that roster is just flat-out unfair. So I can see why they put Bama in there. And honestly,
can I just jump in with a question to you? Not interrupting you, I'm sorry. But I want to throw questions at you because you are a college football expert. Since we're breaking it down, Alabama, I have no idea who this – I know they have one of the best receiving corps in the nation, but do they have a quarterback to lead this team through the SEC? And who is going to be the Heisman contender for Alabama that they seem to have every year?
It's kind of like insert player. They have a couple 5-star caliber quarterbacks, David Cornwell, Blake Barnett. So the talent's there. They bring it in every year, and honestly, I'm getting very sick of it. I mean, as a Florida State fan, I'm very happy that, you know, Jimbo Fisher, he brings in the top 5 class every year. The only other teams that you could kind of put on that caliber are Florida State and Ohio State, but they're still a step back. So, I mean, really, as you're saying, Ryan, it's reload. But you got to think, is the PT, you know what I mean? Is the experience is going to be too much for the youngsters? And they lost Derrick Henry. However, like quarterback, they bring in a couple 5-star running backs every year. And they got the number one running back, who is now a redshirt freshman. His name is eluding me, Baller. They also have Bo Scarborough, who's 6'2", 250. So just like that other guy who was another uber-talented recruit, Damian Harris was the other running back. So really it is unfair. And then to keep it moving along, I mean, that team is just – it's too loaded. And, you know, you really look down on it. You know, when Colin Cowherd said it the best, something about Alabama's schedule, Ryan, they have pretty much a month off during the season with some of the teams they play, like UT Chattanooga. I don't have their schedule in front of me. But a month off over the season, Ryan, during the season to be resting starters, like, I mean, I get
they seem to have that every year too.
They schedule
very strategic, and I love how Jimbo Fisher came out today and said every Power 5 conference should have like a line schedule. So basically, every schedule should kind of be the same, and we should all have. Which, you know, when we play like a really shitty team, doesn't make sense. But, you know, I think that every team, you know, if you're a top-notch team, should have to play at a conference against another top-notch team. And that's not Indiana or something like that. That's playing Michigan State. But Alabama does have to get by USC. The USC still, you know, first game of the year, the USC still hasn't named their quarterback. And that could be the typical Alabama just run through them because, you know, USC overrated as usual. I might pick that as my upset. I think I might be going with Auburn over Clemson, but
that's Ryan. It's better than Alabama Wisconsin last year because we all know what was happening with that game. And one thing I'll say with USC, they are uber talented, but.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think it's Alabama.
Dream.
I
it's a dream matchup.
Know. They just lost, at quarterback. So it's going to be interesting, but I think Bama will win with that stout defense. But, Ryan, touching on some of these other teams, just because you brought them up, with Clemson, honestly, Florida State fans, Ryan knows how biased I am. I picked us to win the championship when Drew Weatherford was our quarterback.
You had to tear the poster down. You had a poster for 10 years of one of the worst FSU teams for some reason. I don't know why you had that poster up.
Ryan,
it was like McFadden at quarterback or something like that.
Ryan knows.
Right when they tore it, we tore it down, and then we win the national title. Clemson, I think
Clemson
really
had the best player in college football, though.
Oh, no doubt, and that's why I love Notre Dame being up there because when you have, and also Oklahoma, I'm just throwing my 2 cents in, because when you have superior quarterbacks like those three teams do, it always gives you an advantage in college football. You know, chips can fall in many different ways, but the way the game's going, when you have quarterbacks that talented, especially Deshaun, which, you know, I hated on him earlier in his career. I mean, I hated on LeBron James, too, and he's our Michael Jordan right now.
It's hard not to hate on him.
We're
FSU
fans.
That's the biggest game that's scary. You know, it's interesting, Ryan, something I did have to throw in. I've seen a couple, I think it might have been Sports Illustrated, a couple of predictions. Have both Clemson and Florida State making the playoffs. Maybe the only way that's possible is if Clemson beats us and that's Florida State's only loss and it's a tight game because we have such a tough schedule. And, of course, some other teams fall. Ryan, moving on, you're fighting Irish, though. But to keep with Clemson, I get the pick. Honestly, Ryan, if they can't win it this year, I really don't know if, like, when Clemson's going to have a better chance. I know they lost a lot, but Deshaun Watson – well, actually, they should have won it last year. They did lose a lot, but their defensive line is serious. They have a bunch of star, talented receivers. And honestly, though, with their offense, they should be dropping 50
a game. They're becoming a mini Florida State. They're reloading like Florida State, but just not on Florida State's level.
And that wide receiving core, and of course, you know, they have Dabo Sweeney, and Clemson does in the big game. It's funny you mentioned that, Ryan, because I rewatched a couple weeks ago. I rewatched that Clemson Alabama national championship. I'm sorry, but Clemson that football game. They did some Clemson. They should have won that game. First they gave up the onside kick for the touch there. They gave up an onside kick, and they gave up a kick return all in the fourth quarter, I believe. And they kept having blown coverages and letting O.J. Howard run wide open. That is a game they should have won. But they Clemsoned it. But Ryan, moving on, I do want to
Clemson will the ultimate Clemsoning will be if they do not win a national title with Deshaun, because you only have a few years with that quarterback, kind of like FSU with Jameis.
Exactly. No, and you know what's funny? There was an interview with Dabo Sweeney. He was like, "I want you guys, you know, to remember this as the most successful decade in Clemson football history." But they won a championship in '81. The only way to do that is if they win another championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Dabo says he doesn't care about. He was like, "If you take care of it, the rest of it will come. We don't have to win a national championship per se. I want us to contend every year, and one will come. But for it to be the most successful decade, I'm sorry, you have to win a championship to solidify yourself. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, Clemson is the only team I've ever seen that gave their players rings for beating Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl, but yet they lost to Alabama. And the fans were acting, they were like all over social media, acting like they won it all. It's like, why are you guys so happy you lost the national championship? Why are you getting rings?
It's a way to Jimbo Fisher, I like this swag. I don't agree with giving out a ring. I don't agree with the ring for the bowl game, but Jimbo, the ultimate recruiter, he gave out rings for a state championship, and I love that because we won the state championship again, and when those recruits see that bling-bling on the finger, and you can say you're the, you know, and all the FSU fans were up in arms, but when you can say you're the fucking state champion of college football officially, you deserve a ring, and that's just such a great recruiting tool. But you can't do it from a BCS game. That's just that's how Jimbo and Dabo compare. You know, it's just the difference.
The worst part of it were the fans on the social media, you know, acting like a championship, and they're bragging like they won it all. And it's just like, I don't know how you could be that happy. I'll say this: if I was a Clemson fan, or if that was Florida State that did that, I'd still be pissed to this day right now. I would be mad. I mean, Ryan, we're still mad about, you know, 1996, 1998, and 2001. I mean,
Florida State should have about 8 rings.
You know, I'm
and
just saying, like, I don't understand how they can forget that, that one part. And, yeah, I mean, that is the difference.
Andrew, that's the Laker. Laker Clippers. Lakers are only content if they're winning championships or, you know, that's it. Not even getting to the final. Like when they lost to Boston, they were disgusted with themselves. But the Clippers, they're hanging banners for the second round. That's the difference between FSU and Clemson. They're our little brothers, let's face it. And, yeah, the Clippers are dominating the Lakers now, but kind of like Clemson, you know, you're going to have an upswing. The little brothers are going to get a lucky punch here and there. But FSU is going to be the dominant team no matter what. Andrew, what about Notre Dame and Oklahoma real quick?
So, first off, with Notre Dame, I mean, talent's there. I'll be honest. I don't know if
Hard
I would
schedule.
Have Notre Dame in there. It is an extremely tough schedule. I mean,
but it's tough to say who else you would have in there. You know what I'm saying?
There are a couple teams. I mean, it's always
Ohio State, Michigan.
It's always interesting to see how it's going to play out and who's going to be undefeated at the end of the year. Who's going to be like that Iowa, you know, that was last year who barely lost to Michigan State or they would have been in the playoffs. So it's very tough to see. I do see Notre Dame being extremely talented again. You know, Kelly brings in top-notch players. Of course, and, you know, they have two really, really good quarterbacks in South Bend. It's just such a monstrous schedule. A lot of traveling.
Yeah.
You know, so that's – I mean, don't get me wrong. I could definitely see Notre Dame making it. They have the
tough
talent
schedule.
Level. Such a tough schedule. And
they lost a lot to the NFL, too.
They did. They lost a ton. Who's going to replace the Flash? Jalen Smith, of course, even if
we got some guys showing out. Aquinas or whatever, he's showing out. We got some players. Put it that way.
Yeah, Corey, I don't know if anyone's going
to replace that defense. Can be hard to. I'm more concerned about replacing that defense.
Jalen Day and Jalen Smith.
Yeah. But we do have a lot of guys that are healthy.
Last year they were plagued by injuries, and that might have been their downfall.
We talk about Jimbo and Saban a lot on this show, but Notre Dame has one of the best coaches in college football, no doubt. Even though he runs illegal screenplays every once in a while, the man went into Florida State and almost snatched an undefeated record out of, you know, the win streak out of FSU's hands was one score away. Kelly, just the way he's had Notre Dame compete every year and having Notre Dame on the national scene every year when they have to have a 3.0 grade average is amazing. I mean, the guy is the prototypical, I would say right now in college football, if one guy could be an NFL coach, it would be Kelly. He's so professional in what he does. He's a crazy man. Oklahoma.
Oh, and you've seen his career, you know. Also, you know, you've seen when he first started, and here he is now. He's evolved very nicely and matured, I should say. Oklahoma, this is a team again. I guess he's really looking in the Big 12, though. You know, they play Ohio State, but you think in here, you know, this team could probably – well, it's interesting. I don't think the Big 12 is going to get the championship game until next year. They are in talks. I think it will expand the 2017 season. So it will be very interesting. You know, you have to think teams out of the Big 12, can they afford to drop a game, not have the championship game, and still make it? I mean, I feel like a big part of them making it last year had to do with TCU getting left out the year before, and then after the season ended, a lot of people thought they would have beaten Ohio State and they were the best team in the country. So, very tough. I will say this. Baker Mayfield is an epic quarterback. They have a very tough game against Ohio State. Ohio State lost a ton, but that is another team that just rebuilds. I mean, top five recruiting class every year. The
JT Barrett.
JT is coming back. He's got a lot of proof this year. Has a lot to prove. Is yet to be able to, you know, live up to that magic. Still chasing that one ring. And honestly, I really wish last year Ohio State would have made it instead of Michigan State. I mean, last year's Ohio State team.
So talented.
Look at the players that went in the draft.
They were the FSU from 2014.
Yes, they were. I think they had like 7 first-round draft picks. But Oklahoma, it's going to be tough. I'll be honest, I don't know if it's so hard to get there. It's even harder to win it all. But what's even harder, I feel like, is to get back there again. Because, you know, a lot of things have to fall your way too, Ryan. If you win all the games, yes. I mean, yeah, that's the only way. But how many times do we see a team go undefeated? You know, you got to think Oklahoma might slip up somewhere on the road. One crazy thing, Baker Mayfield, I feel like this dude's been in college football for 4 years now, right? But get this. He got granted another year of eligibility. So we will see Baker Mayfield for 2 more years. I don't know.
Oh,
how
my
he
God.
He went mad.
He's going to be so good.
He's going to be – I swear, Baker Mayfield's profession, like, he's a professional college football player.
He is. Professional college football player. Well,
I don't know how he could do it, but overall, I got to say, though, these 4 playoffs, I mean, I like it. It's not too crazy. It's
bold
somewhat believable. And it has some bold picks. My overall grade for it would be a B, a solid B, maybe a B plus. I feel like they might go 2 for 4. A couple changes I would make. One, you already know it. I really like
FSU.
A lot of people are picking this, Ryan. Florida State has one of the most talented.
I think FSU can go 11-12-1.
Oh, I agree. You know, I will say this: my two scariest games are coming up for Florida State. Of course, number one is Clemson. Can't be Clemson. Number two, and I didn't know if you realized this, Ryan. I didn't.
Miami on
the
road.
If we sweep Miami and Florida State again, or in Florida again, that will be the fourth year, and this will be the first time ever that a freshman class, you know, went undefeated against Miami and Florida for the first 4 years of the season. But yes, Ryan, that Miami game.
I'm so scared.
Mark
Richt on the road.
And fired up. They claimed that he was back. The swagger's back. We've been hearing that every year. However, Al Golden is gone. And if we, and you got to think, Ryan, the last 2 years, they were so freaking close to beating us. So
yeah.
Close.
Oh,
our defense. Brad Kai, he had his chance at the end. You got to think third time's the charm. He can deliver this time. You know, we might be in trouble. And then also, of course, I'm calling it a toss-up for his loves. I could see us losing to one of those teams.
Ole Miss scares the shit out of me.
Ole Miss is very scary as well. Week one.
I think all the FSU fans are overlooking Ole Miss and how good they are.
I agree too, Ryan. I mean,
nobody, everyone's acting like
about this too.
Win.
Breaking in a new quarterback with DeAndre Francois.
First game
Sean
of the year is
back
tough.
There. Yeah, and you got to think if the O line plays like they did at the beginning of the season, they did last year. I'm just afraid Sean McGuire is going to be our quarterback. Our O line's going to play shitty. And we're just going to be getting sacked all day.
Yeah, Andrew, think about this. If we start a freshman, one of the freshmen, and he comes out and he throws three picks or something in the first half against Ole Miss, and don't forget, they have Chad Kelly. So when it comes to the first week of the season, in big games like this, I look at the team with the veteran quarterback. And it could get ugly quick. You know, I think it has to be a heavy dose of Dalvin, but Ole Miss always has some big boys up front. So it's going to be scary. Andrew, I wanted to get just 30 seconds on this topic. What's your final – do you have any final thoughts on these teams?
All in all, Ryan, of course, I've got to agree with you, the senior quarterback. I mean, all in all, I have to say, so happy that football's back upon us. This stretch we're going through now is like the worst stretch ever. Just, you know, when it's just baseball. We got the Olympics, but I mean, I'll be honest, you know,
Olympics
I
are saving my summer. They're saving my summer.
I don't know. I haven't been able to get – I've been able to get into a couple things. You know,
I like the rugby.
Hockey. The rugby has been good. The field hockey has actually been
water polo's all right. You know, it's, like, kind of cool.
I don't know.
I guess. I think lacrosse should be in there. Like, that would be entertaining.
Stuff I can't get into. But I think
no,
I know
I can't
the one
get
thing
into swimming. I can't get
no.
into gymnastics.
No.
Like, I don't care about that stuff, but I do like the volleyball. That's kind of entertaining.
Dude, the girls last night, United States, USA all the way. It was a close one. Sweden came back, finally pushed to the third set. But, you know, we have, like, the Michael Jordan, the women's volleyball, and she came through. But, Ryan, I think we know the one sport that saves the Olympics.
Let me just say... Can I just throw my 30 seconds on those four teams real quick?
Yeah.
Put on a timer for me. I want you to click
right.
the timer. Ready? Go. I'm going to say right now that Clemson, I could see them making the playoffs, but I can also see them getting upset by Auburn. I don't like their defense, and I think Florida State will beat the shit out of them this year. Alabama,
right.
I think it's going to come down to them and LSU. And, of course, an SEC team is always going to make it, so that's a safe pick. Notre Dame, I don't love the schedule. I'm a little scared. I think we have to reload on too many positions. That's where I could see maybe the two ACC teams getting in. And Oklahoma, the schedule in the beginning of the season, they start out at Houston, Ohio State, Texas, TCU. I mean, those are like four out of the first six games. that's going to be really tough. And we're going to see. They have the talent, though, to go all the way to the playoffs. The thing about the top four and why Notre Dame might have squeaked in there, of course, the ACC is an eliminator. And also, I just don't love anyone from the Pac-12 that much. Don't love anyone else from the Big 12 that much. And the Big 10, Michigan, maybe. And I don't know. I just feel like those teams might eliminate each other, those weak-ass schedules they have. But at least Ohio State does play Oklahoma and Michigan. And it might be all hype. So I'm going to give it a B-. I do love the fact that the Irish are finally getting well-deserved hype. They're missing a big thing. It's the, FSU should be motherfucking in there. Let's go.
Ryan, real quick, one last thing I do have to ask you. You know, you always get some upsets and some underdogs in there every year. Do you see another team making a run like Iowa did last year?
Oh, tough question. I love it, Andrew.
And do you think Iowa's going to be any good this year, or were they a one-hit wonder?
I could see Washington, maybe, in the Pac-12, but it is very tough out there, but they're a very talented team out there. I could also see, let's see who else. Are we considering Michigan pretty hyped up? Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, they wouldn't be like the Iowa level.
Honestly, I could see maybe a Miami or North Carolina making a run on the other side of the ACC, but they do have to eventually play Clemson, Florida State. So I'm going to stick with –
Michigan State in the championship, so, I mean, very well, you could be correct. You know what I mean? They go undefeated,
yeah,
and then they get that tough game, and they lose it.
But I will say my team to watch out for, definitely. I know they are getting hyped, but I think Tennessee is going to be a really dangerous team this year, and I think they might go undefeated in the SEC East.
Right. If Tennessee doesn't come back this year, they're forever
fired. Ugly coach.
How can you lose 11 times straight to Florida? I mean,
Tennessee, and the Gators are so bad. Every Gators are so bad.
And how they
this
lost
the time to beat Florida.
Exactly. This is the. I think they lost to them when Florida was 4-8. They did.
Florida literally had the worst offense I've ever seen last year.
They lost to them when they were 4-8. I mean, and then last year, I don't know if you were watching the game. It's just the second year in the row they've had them beat, and they blew it. It's just kind of comical, Ryan. And I do like your point, last thing I'll say about the Pac-12. And I think one of the Pac is the Pac-16. Biggest problem is, like, I don't want to say, like, they're all elite teams. Every team in the Pac-12, I think, is pretty good, and they all have a lot of potential. But every year we see the same thing, Ryan. They always beat each other up. You know what I mean? Like, Oregon will come out and beat Arizona State.
Yeah,
and then lose to Arizona. And then Arizona State will beat Arizona.
And then Utah's kind of good now. UCLA, and then Oregon. It might be the best conference. And let me just say this. Clemson not only will lose to FSU, but the first week of the season, they might get beat by another Noel. And I'm talking John Franklin, baby. Because I think he should definitely be starting for Auburn. And, yeah, watch that documentary on Netflix where he finally started and scored. Oh, great. One of the best documentaries I've seen in a long time.
I thought he kind of sucked. I was disappointed.
No, he was such a disappointment.
The way he was hyped up in the long
time. His attitude, too.
He was a dick.
He was a dick. What was his problem?
I played at Florida State.
I know he started. But, Andrew, I know he balled out in that last game where they all got in a fight. I love that. That was so funny. They just all started fighting. But how the hell did he get the big scholarship out of that whole team, all those good players? Like, what the hell happened? Are they that dumb?
I mean,
what about the white quarterback turning down
the
scholarship?
Now he's at Mississippi State, a regular student playing intramurals.
Yeah,
Ryan, but they were not the sharpest tools in the shed.
Oh, and the coach fighting referees and shit. It was such a wild documentary. It was wild. Like I ran through the game they lost in the beginning,
and I just remember how bad they lost the win streak.
Hey, that running back was serious business. The one that got stomped out. Only in junior college football would you have like the other team gang fight, like literally stomped out that running back that went UAB. But when they started the fight, what the hell was that? That team was like, they literally just came out there to fight. And then they just don't let them in the playoffs? Like, what? It was so crazy. So, and that girl, I love that woman, the one who cares about the happiness
all the time.
She stole the show. Come on, you wouldn't want that lady like keeping track of your life. I would like,
or even
know
your
what
kids. Like if you send a kid off to college, like if she's there, that was just kind of funny though. How they would all
blow her off.
To
get that girl. Yeah, they would all. Remember when she had to chase that one kid around the campus? He was just like, nah, I ain't feeling it right now. I ain't feeling it.
You know, I just remember that one. It was early in the season, and they all had, like, a paper. She went and got a deadline for him. Like, she got it pushed back. She got him to do some stuff. And, like, all three of them were just ignoring her phone calls and ducking out on her. And then, of course, with John Franklin getting caught, you know, sneaking the girl out of his room. And just how different.
I played for FSU, baby. FSU.
You were never in college. You was never around college athletes. I got to say, John Franklin was a major disappointment. Honestly, Ryan,
I just want to hype him up and he did ball the fuck out in that game. Six touchdowns in one half. But how the fuck do you let that little white dude start in front of you? What the fuck?
Yeah.
What are you doing,
and
John Franklin?
I'll play you most of the season. But, Ryan, this could be a valid point. Do you think this is another tale of the SEC hype train? You know, Gus Malzahn. Now, I'm saying this Gus Malzahn, he's probably coaching for his job this year, mainly because Alabama keeps winning championships.
Auburn
is going to have him
pissed.
But I'm not too confident if I'm Malzahn and my quarterbacks are Jeremy Johnson, who has the IQ of level 6. You know, Sean White.
Oh, the new Cam Newton? Is that what you're talking about?
Desmond Howard will never be able to live that down, saying Jeremy Johnson was better than Cam Newton. But, Ryan, is this an SEC hype job, as we always see?
Yeah.
You know, every year there's those SEC hype jobs.
But you know what? I think first week of the season, I think Auburn's going to suck and John Franklin's going to suck. First week of the season, they could catch Clemson slipping. Or Clemson's going to beat them really bad.
Where is that game?
It's kind of like USC Bama. I think it's in, of course, as usual, SEC, like the Peach Bowl, Atlanta.
Yeah,
and
Ryan,
you know,
John
Franklin in Atlanta... He's going to be very distracted.
Now, Ryan,
with
who
all
are you rooting for in that game? As a Florida State fan.
Auburn, man. I hate Clemson.
Ooh, rooting for the SEC? No, see, this is tough for myself.
No,
I know.
I love the ACC, but I'm going to root for Alabama to lose and then Auburn to beat Clemson. But
yeah.
I would rather FSU beat an undefeated Clemson.
Exactly.
But I can never root for Clemson. They've gotten to that Florida level. Andrew, let's hit real quick with our five topics of the day. Just the quick hitters, kind of get like just a quick thought on each one. I'll start it off. My topic is Conor McGregor spent $350,000 on training camp for the Nate Diaz fight. That is paying a lot of sparring partners. Do you think his ground game and his general, you know, weight gain, stuff like that, do you think it is money well spent, or should he have, you know, what do you think about this overall? I don't know how to kind of make this question, but that is an absurd number, but it's crazy because that was the big thing that was kind of negative going into that fight about Conor McGregor.
Well, first thing I have to say, 300K to Conor McGregor isn't like 300K to, you know what I mean? Like, not to LeBron, it's like 30 cents, but to McGregor, it's like 30 bucks. You know, like,
yeah.
300K isn't a lot. Honestly, Ryan, it all depends on one question. Do you win the fight? I mean, if you win the fight, yeah, it's money well spent. If you lose, you're a dumbass. You know what I mean? That's really what it comes down to.
If he loses, he's done.
Money well spent. And then, you know, I got to say, I kind of applaud it. It shows how dedicated he is, especially after losing, you know, how focused he is. And I have to say, too, we see a different Conor McGregor. I love it. But really quick to keep the ball rolling. I know we're short on time. Ryan, my question is something I wanted to bring up. We've seen GSP officially announce he's back in the drug testing along, and Chael Sonnen is too. Chael's already been tested twice. GSP is back in
Chael
the drug testing. And GSP is back too. Question one, are you that, or, you know, who do you think comes back first? And how excited would you be to see GSP back in there? Do you think it's inevitable? Do you think he's fighting? Who do you think comes back first? Who are you more excited to see? Just a quick couple shots on that.
This is clearly a UFC need these guys type of thing. Because Chael Sonnen really has no reason to fight anymore. But the UFC is going to promote this shit out of Chael Sonnen. And let's face it, it's going to be a Brock Lesnar. Chael Sonnen's going to eventually slip up and fail drug tests. But they'll get one big fight out of him, and I think it should be against GSP because Chael Sonnen will talk all that. Yeah, I'm from Oregon, and I don't like this Canadian that eats bacon and drinks his wine and blah, blah, blah. That was a horrible Chael Sonnen accent. I used to have it down, let's face it, Andrew. This isn't going to be a, you know, GSP makes a title run, but I do, as much as I would hate to see GSP hold him down, I would love to see GSP and Nick Diaz too, because I can't remember being, other than Conor McGregor, hyped up for a fight so much. Andrew, the Fighting Delvadovas gave the men's USA basketball team a run for their money last night. And they didn't have Ben Simmons or Dante Exum or Thon Baker, whatever the fuck's name is. First off, would it be a closer game with those guys? Second off, which is kind of a dumb question, I see the USA kind of playing too much ISO ball, playing that well. Do you think they could get caught in these Olympics?
It would have been closer, but there's no way I feel like they should have beaten them. USA is too talented. I'll tell you what, if they keep playing like they do, they are going to get caught. You have to think, too, is this the third Olympics in a row where they could win gold? Are we not as hungry anymore? You know, I feel like the only person really trying is Melo. Because that's all, you know, he's been on a shit team his entire career. So this is like his one shot to win it at some stage.
Imagine if he played with good players, how good he would be.
The only way they'll lose, the only team that can beat Team USA is themselves. I mean, and you got to remember, Ryan, this is like, I'm sorry, but these are like the 1B stars besides, you know, Kevin. Like, I mean, we don't even see the best of the best out there, the Russes.
We don't have LeBron, Russell, Steph, or Leonard, or Anthony Davis. But, you know, you got Kevin Durant, Paul George. I wouldn't say it's like the B team, but we don't have the ultimate.
There's a couple 1B players on there. Yeah, I'll,